And welcome, everybody. You're listening to Cloud Sense. I am Jack Berugin, your host, and got a great show for you today. I've got Teresa Rule. She is the president and founder of RNT Professional Services, LLC. And Teresa is a cybersecurity expert. So, Teresa, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jack.
And now did I describe you properly as a cybersecurity expert?
I like to say I'm a professional with a lot of expertise, but yes.
You know what? I look through your background and I think to myself, now, if there's ever an expert, this is it, as I read some of the things that you've done. But you know what? I want to jump right into it because there's so much to talk about, especially these days. And I know that your world and your business has got to be exploding with what is happening with e-commerce and what is happening with the cloud these days. So let's talk a little bit about security in the cloud. Who's ultimately responsible for cloud security? Let's start right from the beginning and kind of work our way through.
Well, the person responsible for cloud security is the user, the end user, whether it's the organization or the individual.
Now, when you say it like that, remember, there are a lot of cloud providers out there that assume that they are, and let's put it, you know, rudimentary. All right. I think that my cloud provider is watching what I am doing and protecting me. Is that right or wrong?
So that's an assumption. Ideally, your cloud provider is doing that. And ideally, your managed service agreement or your contract states those very things. But a lot of users and organizations are too naive to expect that to happen. And if it's not in the contract, then who is responsible? It's the person who is purchasing the service.
Yeah, so it's almost like caveat emptor then is really what
yes.
It comes down to. You know, you hate saying it like that because you're dealing with such important data now. And let's get specific a little bit. You know, you've got some things that are going on around the world. GDPR is one. How does that impact cloud security? Where are we going with that? Because that took effect a couple of years ago. And I know that there are a lot of cloud solutions out there that are around all of the GDPR specifications that have come out. Give me an idea of how it's been impacting cloud security.
You know, Jack, that's a really good question. GDPR, of course, is a general data protection regulation that came out of the European Union for any company or that does business with the EU. In the United States, we have an organization called Privacy Shield, which is a process any cloud provider and any organization can undergo to verify that they are privacy certified to the GDPR regulations. But all the cloud solutions that a company employs has to be compliant with data privacy regulations. And ultimately, it is the organization. And you can't say, well, I thought my cloud provider was doing this. So I hope that answers your question.
Okay, well, let's take it one step further. Is this something that, I mean, we're seeing it spread. Is this something that we're going to adapt here in the States, or have we adopted it here in the States, or do you see it on the
yes.
blackboard?
Yes. Yeah. And because we're 50 states and we don't have a federal privacy regulation in place right now, each state sets its own privacy standards. California has the most strict privacy standards. So if you're doing business with an organization in California, you have to meet the California privacy standards. If you're working with Canada, they have their own privacy standards. If you're in Massachusetts, Illinois. So now it's a little more complicated because you have to understand the privacy standards and ramifications of not meeting those for each state in the union.
Well, it would just seem to me that down the road, it makes so much more sense just to get it standardized and get it under one umbrella. But here, you know what? Let's switch gears a little bit. You know, there's so much going on right now with IoT. We're talking about so much data that's being, you know, actually, you know, being captured. And, you know, I mean, I've heard estimates saying that we're going to be creating more data over the course of the next couple of years than mankind has created in its existence. You know, how is cloud security impacted by all of this activity in IoT?
You know, it's really exciting that we have cloud to support IoT, but a lot of data is going up there, and a lot of that data is not encrypted or protected when it does enter the cloud. And because of that, it's a lot harder to protect it once it gets in the cloud, if that makes sense. And we find that that type of data upload provides an entry point for vulnerability exploitation.
You know, give me an example of that, only because I know people are listening to this and they're saying, okay, how would somebody hack through me? Give me a real life example, and I'm sure you've got one, you know, a million of them, you know, where somebody who thought they were very secure, all right, ended up getting hacked through some very bizarre method.
So, as you know, I'm in Oklahoma and we have a lot of casinos here. There was a casino that had its data hacked through a thermometer in their aquarium, one of those large aquariums. It's larger than life. It's not always, now that's like a fishy story, but
that was actually very good, Teresa. I like that.
Thank you. There's other people that my cloud is talking to your cloud, but we don't necessarily have good protocols. I don't know if you remember about 8 years ago when Target had a data breach around Christmas time, and many people around the country were affected by that, but they were actually hacked that vulnerability was exploited through their HVAC contractor, not through the thermostat, but through their billing system. Mm. So it's not just you, it's who you talk to and who you associate with. Also, if you're in the cloud and you're sharing a server with some other organization, you can be exploited through that other organization, even if you have all your protocols in place.
You know, that is actually very scary because, you know, I'm assuming that in many cases, people in these data centers, unless they're buying bare metal, unless they're buying something, you know, that is exclusively theirs, are sharing servers with other people. And you know, there's probably a lot of vulnerability there. You know, and Teresa, let me ask you this. You know, when I was on the board of directors of CME, I would have to meet with security all the time. And one of the biggest concerns they had were people that were going to be hacking into our matching engine, you know, and other things like that. Those were our major vulnerabilities. You know, what are the major the big problems that you see? What are the vulnerabilities with the cloud right now?
Well, you know, we all know that the cloud's someone else's computer, but the other thing is people's ignorance, their lack of knowledge on how to use the cloud responsibly. So how the cloud is implemented within an organization, how the users are trained. So that's how you get those gaps in your protection and inconsistent usage processes, because people think, well, it's in the cloud, it's safe no matter what I do, which is a little nuts. So really train people is the first step towards having a successful and secure cloud implementation.
Well, you know, one thing I've learned is that it's more than just data that you can lose. I mean, you know, people always assume it's just data that people are after, but it's more than just data breaches, isn't it, that attackers are looking for?
That's true. You can lose a lot. Your reputation changes if you've ever been breached. You know, we will never look at certain institutions again. Oh, they're the ones that got hacked and that type of thing. And intellectual property, which is not just data, but a lot of reputation in how you actually do things.
Well, you know, I'm going to say that IP is probably one of the more valuable things on the balance sheet these days, and especially, you know, with what's going on around the world. Speaking of that, and we don't have a lot of time here. I've got a lot I want to ask you. Yeah, you know, it's like one of those things where I want to keep asking you questions, but I know I've got to end it soon. What here in your mind's eye, all right, because you see it from somebody from a security standpoint, what is the future for the cloud? What is infrastructure going to look like in maybe 5 years or 10 years? Only because it seems to me that, and I've said this a couple of times already, that things that we thought would happen in, say, 2 to 4 years are now happening, you know, within 6 months. And I'm assuming that that's, you know, that's something that is right in your wheelhouse.
Yes, you're right. Cloud and the use of the cloud is going to continue. It's just going to grow, I think, exponentially. And it's really kind of the heart of how we can share so much information in a good way. But with that, there's going to be a growth of people who are going to try to exploit it. Different types of threats are going to evolve. Different types of interactions between good and bad. And we as security practitioners are going to have to continue to grow and evolve in order to counteract all those things.
Well, I got to tell you, I I used to stay up at nights worrying about it, but knowing people like you are actually there taking care of things like this makes me feel a lot better, Teresa, I want to tell you. And, you know, before I lose you here, I do want to say one thing on a personal note. I know that you served our country. I want to thank you for your service. I know you do a lot for the vets out there. And you know what? Before we end it here, you know, if somebody's listening, in either they're a vet, they're looking to get into the business, or they're looking to hire somebody, how would they do it? And give them a couple of tips and tell them what they can do, please.
Well, thank you, Jack, for recognizing the work that our veterans continue to do in service of our country. I can be reached at info@rntpros.com, and I'll be glad to share any tips. There are many programs out there through the VA and through the DoD where veterans can receive free cybersecurity training. Again, I'll be glad to share any of that. Cybersecurity training is not for everyone. There's a lot of I had one colleague say, you become professionally paranoid because everywhere you go, you start seeing things that really are insecure.
Well, I actually like that. I'm glad you said it that way. That is so important because, you know what, if you're not paranoid sometimes, you know what, you end up with a problem.
But that's true. Go
ahead and finish up, please.
No. I would just say don't be ashamed if cybersecurity is not for you. There's a lot of great ways to serve. And don't think you have to have a strong computer background to be a cybersecurity professional. My undergraduate is letters. My languages are Latin and Russian. And I certainly didn't have a computer background before I got into this business. Most of it is common sense and practical application of knowledge.
I love it. Teresa Rule, folks. She is the president of RNT Professional Services, LLC. Teresa, please promise to come back and tell us some more later on.
Thank you, Jack.
You know, this was absolutely great. You've been listening to Teresa Rule. This has been CloudSense, folks, and I will be talking to you soon.